Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Place Where You Belong by Nancy Lavo. Narrated by Lauren Peterson. Chapter 1. Hallie Nichols hated to go home. Every mile closer raised her level of tension. She tightened her grip on the steering wheel and blew out a breath. I can do this. 3 days, a week tops, and I'll be out of here. She injected an extra dose of determined optimism into her voice while repeating the declaration to her reflection in the rearview mirror. I can do this. Open fields, lush with new spring growth, slid by the window as she reached across to the bag on her passenger seat and pulled out one of her ever-ready rolls of antacids. She thumbed off a couple and chewed them up to extinguish the burn in the pit of her stomach. Her temples continued to pound, despite the Tylenol she'd taken earlier. No point in taking any more. Beyond the potential damage to her liver, she knew there wasn't enough painkiller in the great state of Texas to cure her homecoming blues. A reluctant grin pulled at the corner of her mouth. If only she had the talent to set her current outlook to music, she'd have the makings of a best-selling country song. She slowed her car when the faded green sign marking the city limits came into view. A tangle of thorny brown vines crept up the rusted post and across the face of the sign, nearly choking off the words, Village Green, Population 571. She released a long, noisy sigh. Welcome home. She hung a left off the two-lane highway at the flashing yellow light, heading south on Main Street. Though hers was the only car on the road, she eased off the gas, slowing to 20 miles an hour to stall for time. She tightened her grip on the steering wheel and sighed. Rolling along at a crawl gave her the opportunity to study the weathered brick storefronts lining the street. In the glare of March sunlight, everything looked tired and dirty. At least half of the old two-story buildings were boarded up. Since its heyday in the 50s, the sleepy town of Village Green was slowly dwindling away. Hallie flicked her fingers in a dismissive wave. Good riddance. She couldn't muster a single sentimental twinge for the town where she'd been born and raised. Village Green was nothing more than a jumble of stinging slights and painful memories. She edged past an unfamiliar pickup truck parked in front of her childhood home and pulled into the rutted gravel driveway. She shifted into park and looked through the windshield to see her all-time worst memory sitting next to her mom on the porch swing, Trey Gunther. Hallie resisted the very real temptation to slam her car into reverse, squeal out of the driveway in a spray of stones, and beat a fast path back to the city. Once a fixture at Hallie's house, she swore Trey hadn't stepped foot on the Nichols property in a decade. After their less than amicable breakup, they'd made it a point to steer clear of each other. Since they hadn't shared more than a curt nod or two in the last 10 years, she couldn't imagine what brought him today. She squinted for another look. Definitely Trey. No mistaking his broad shoulders and sun-streaked hair. Hallie took her time switching off the ignition, giving herself a minute to assimilate this unexpected twist. Curiosity warred with homecoming dread. What was he doing here? She climbed out of the car and pocketed the keys without locking up, leaving everything to unload later. Several thoughts raced through her mind as she pushed her door closed. What had she done to deserve having her old boyfriend on her reception committee? Why couldn't she have worn something classier than her oldest pair of jeans and a t-shirt she should have thrown out years ago? And most importantly, how should she act toward him? She couldn't very well ignore him, since he was sitting there big as life, and she had no intention of running up the white flag and making friendly with the man who had broken her heart. So what did that leave her? She caught her bottom lip in her teeth. Think, Hallie. Creating images was her stock in trade, right? If she could make a living teaching people how to appear cool and unflappable, she should be able to pull off the same thing for herself. She took a deep breath, releasing it slowly. Come on, girl. You can do it. She'd been over him a long time. She may be shaken by his surprise appearance, but truthfully, Trey Gunther no longer rated even a minor blip on her radar. Hallie crossed the small square of freshly mown lawn. From the cover of her sunglasses, she made a quick survey of her welcoming committee, now standing at the top of the stairs. Her mom looked tired. Poor thing. She'd aged a lot in the month since her stroke. Once a bundle of energy, the stroke had broken her. The bored, straight posture she'd modeled for her two daughters had been replaced with stooped shoulders and a wobbly stance. She'd lost weight in rehab, even more in the few days since Hallie had last seen her. This morning, her peach-colored tracksuit hung loosely on her hunched frame. Standing beside Trey, she looked positively fragile. Hallie's gaze shifted. Trey looked fabulous. Darn it. It'd be a whole lot easier to play it cool if his hair had decided to recede and his waistline expanded. Funny, she thought as she closed the distance between them. She'd forgotten just how good-looking Trey was. Of course, she hadn't been within 20 feet of him in close to a decade. Evidently, she'd let bitterness distort her memories. Over time, she'd half-convinced herself he was just an average-looking guy. Tall and tan, with thick blonde-streaked hair and a chiseled face with 3-day-old whiskers that brought out a handsome ruggedness, he could be a poster boy for Mr. All-American Hunk. Beyond being blessed with great looks, Trey had always possessed an indefinable something that drew people to him like a magnet drew metal. Even as a teenager, Trey had exuded charm by the truckload. The rock-solid presence of him seemed to promise stability. People immediately assumed Trey was dependable and trustworthy, which just went to show how wrong assumptions could be. Hallie! Her mother lifted her four-pronged cane in a jerky wave, her left arm dangling at her side like a broken wing. Ignoring him for the moment, Hallie trotted up the painted wooden steps and gathered her mother into a gentle hug, careful not to upset her precarious balance. Hi, Mom. How are you feeling? Better, now that I'm home. Her mother drew back, a fresh coat of her trademark tangerine lipstick on her smile. Aren't you surprised to see Trey here? Though surprise didn't begin to cover her feelings at seeing her old flame standing on her porch, she kept her expression neutral when she turned toward him. Hey. Hey. His smile was as impersonal as hers, his gaze cool and assessing. He must have felt his presence required an explanation. My mom planned to drive your mother this morning, but her arthritis was acting up, so I offered to bring your mother home. Hallie didn't know where the tiny dart of disappointment came from. She hadn't honestly believed he was here to confess he'd suddenly discovered he couldn't live another minute without her. Even so, she'd be lying to say she hadn't fantasized a time or two about Trey crawling to her one day, begging her to take him back. The highlight of the fantasy was the pleasure of rejecting him, just as he'd rejected her. She should have known it was a good neighbor thing that brought him to her mother's porch. Village Green was all about good neighbors. The Gunther family was all about Village Green, and Trey was the consummate Gunther. Hallie nodded. Thanks. Come on in the house, you two. Her mother appeared unaware of any emotional undercurrents. I'm exhausted from standing here. Hallie pulled open the screen door and stepped aside for her mother to enter. She followed close behind, her hand poised at the small of the older woman's back in case she should stumble. The stroke had affected the left side of her body, so her mom was learning to walk again. No longer reflexive, each step required deliberate thought and placement of her feet and cane. It felt like an eternity just to walk a few feet inside the door. Her mother was winded by the time Hallie escorted her to her favorite armchair by the window. She collapsed into the seat, sighing with pleasure while she settled in. The sound tugged at Hallie's heartstrings. She'd been so caught up in her own misery, she'd almost lost sight of who had truly suffered through all of this. Sure, she'd been inconvenienced and dragged back to the black hole of Village Green, but only temporarily. Her mother's life had been radically altered forever. Physically, mentally, emotionally. She'd need months of therapy to regain even a fraction of all she had lost. And between her stay at the hospital and the one at the rehab center, she'd been gone from her beloved home for nearly 6 weeks. "I think there are still some sodas in the fridge," her mother said after she caught her breath. "Why don't you get us all something cold to drink?" Hallie glanced at Trey and lifted a brow. This was his opportunity to escape. He'd done his good deed and upheld the family honor. No point in him hanging around and making her uncomfortable. He didn't move. Maybe he needed a nudge. "I'm sure Trey has things to do." She waited for his polite excuse. Instead, he smiled at her mother and nodded. "Something to drink sounds great." Hallie frowned. Apparently, the Gunther notion of neighborliness included chit-chat over refreshments. Just what she didn't need. He could be here for hours. She tried to find a bright spot in her increasingly dismal morning. Her head still ached, and the antacids hadn't touched the fire in her stomach. The only positive she could see was if she was stuck with Trey, at least he'd have to shoulder part of the burden of making conversation with her mother. Guilt welled, tightening in her chest. She had tried, really tried, to build a friendship with her mom. As a child, she'd worked endlessly to earn her mother's affection. As an adult, she'd made the calls, sent the emails, issued the invitations. But they'd never really connected. It wasn't that her mother didn't love her. It was just that Hallie would never be Janice. "Cold drinks coming up." Hallie headed down the short hall to the kitchen and switched on the overhead light. The familiarity of her old home hit her hard. The beige linoleum in the faux pebble pattern, the ruffled valance hanging over the window at the sink, the dark wood dinette her father had surprised her mother with on their anniversary, all unchanged. Even the smells were those she remembered from childhood. She grabbed a couple sodas from the refrigerator. After filling 3 tall glasses with ice and cola, she scooped them up and carried them back to the living room. She extended a glass to Trey, carefully avoiding his eyes and his touch before placing her own drink on the corner of the coffee table, positioning herself as far from him as possible without moving to another room. Hallie brought the 3rd glass to her mother, transferring it slowly to make certain she had a good grip. "Got it?" Her mom nodded. "Yes, thank you. Before you sit down, will you run and get me a towel to put on my lap in case I spill?" Because her coordination was off, spills were a big part of her mom's new reality. Hallie hurried to the bathroom, pulled a clean, pink-striped hand towel off the bar and headed back. "Do you want me to pin it around your neck?" "No, just prop it under my chin." She lifted her face, waiting while Hallie leaned over her and tucked it into her collar. The towel smoothed to her mother's satisfaction, Hallie took a seat on the chair beside her. Even though she'd been doing her best to ignore him, she'd been painfully aware of Trey watching the interaction between her and her mom. "It's obvious Hallie will have you spoiled in no time," he said. Her mother smiled and nodded. "She's been a fine help. Speaking of help, have either of you heard from Janice today?" Both Hallie and Trey shook their heads. "I expected her to call this morning." Her mother's forehead knotted, and she glanced toward the phone on the end table. "I hope everything is all right." "I'm sure she's fine, Mom." Trey nodded reassuringly. "She wasn't able to visit me at the rehab center. Not that I expected it." Her expression softened into the doting look reserved for discussions of her eldest daughter. We all know how busy she is. She did telephone me several times. Such a thoughtful girl. With all her responsibilities to her husband and the college, she still finds the time to check on her mother. I'm certain she'll come, now that I'm home. She glanced at Hallie and sighed heavily. I don't know how we'll manage till she gets here. Hallie nodded, her smile never faltering, though her heart did a sad little slide. Like a dutiful daughter, she'd dropped everything to come home and care for her mom. But her mother didn't want her. She wanted Janice. Hallie wasn't a stupid woman. She didn't know why she'd dared to hope this time would be different. The fact was, it didn't matter how much time passed, some things never changed. Regardless of what she did, no matter how hard she tried, she just didn't measure up to her older sister. Trey and her mom carried the conversation for 30 minutes or so while they finished their drinks, but Hallie contributed little to the small talk. Back less than an hour and she was already sinking under a churning tide of insecurity. It seemed all she had to do was drive inside the city limits, and suddenly everything she'd accomplished faded to nothing. The public relations company she'd built with her own hands, the good friends who believed in her, the nice bank account, all forgotten. Here, she was nothing more than Mrs. Nichols' other daughter, Janice's insignificant little sister. She'd promised herself she wouldn't let it happen again, but despite her best intentions, this town, this house, these people managed to whittle her down to nothing. Too restless to sit, Hallie popped up from her chair. I think I'll go out and get my stuff from the car. Trey stood as well. I'll help you. She gave him a bland smile. No, thanks. That's just what she needed. A life-sized reminder that everyone preferred Janice. Of course she wants your help, her mother said. Hallie, let Trey carry the heavy stuff. We might as well make use of all those muscles while they're handy, she chuckled. Because arguing would make her look as stupid as she'd begun to feel, Hallie accepted with a shrug. Okay, great. She and Trey walked to her car in awkward silence, two semi-hostile strangers who'd once pledged to love one another forever. She dug the keys from the pocket of her jeans and opened the trunk. Your mom seems good. Trey pulled out her two large suitcases. It's really lucky about the stroke. Though she'd been careful to avoid making eye contact with him all morning, she glared at him now. Lucky? Lucky she'd spent a week sleeping on the cramped fold-out chair in her mother's hospital room worried sick about the future? Lucky she'd been burning up the highway between Fort Worth and Corsicana for the last month so she could spend every weekend with her mom in rehab? Lucky she'd been dragged back to Village Green to have the life sapped out of her? One look at her face had him lifting his palms in surrender. Let me rephrase that. What I meant to say is it's lucky the stroke wasn't more severe, that it didn't affect her thinking or her speech. Her spike of temper cooled. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say we're lucky, but I guess it could be a lot worse. She pulled her tote from the trunk and slung it over her shoulder, carrying her laptop case in her other hand. She followed Trey up the stairs, stifling a sigh when the muscles in his powerful arms bulged with the weight of her luggage. Whatever else she could say about Trey, there was no denying he was a fine specimen of a man. Since there was no rule that said she had to like him to admire his physique, she allowed herself a moment to appreciate it. He'd had a great build in high school, a swoon-worthy ratio of height to muscle, and from the look of things, he'd only improved with age. Hallie remembered hearing her mother mention Trey served as co-captain of the town's softball team. Seemed the game was doing a pretty fine job of keeping things bronzed and toned. He lugged her bags through the front door. Mrs. Nichols, Do you want me to put Hallie in Janice's room since it's closer to yours? She shook her head. No, you'd better not. Janice will want her own room when she gets here. Trey shrugged at Hallie, who waited behind him. She returned the shrug, then tipped up her chin, directing him down the hall to her old room. Hallie had shared a bedroom with her sister, across the hall from her parents, until Janice turned 13 and decided she needed a room of her own. To keep the peace, Hallie's dad had converted the small room off the kitchen into a bedroom for Hallie. The narrow, rectangular room had been just the right size for a 10-year-old. She could still remember her excitement on the trip to the Penny's catalog store to furnish her new space. She'd fallen hard for the white and gold French provincial set. 18 years later, the twin bed, chest of drawers, and desk still snugged nicely into her old room. Trey flicked on the overhead light and squeezed his eyes shut in an exaggerated grimace. Man, I don't know how you slept in a room this pink. Hallie glanced around the tiny room. Are you kidding? It's a great color. Her first choice had been lavender, the soft powdery purple of a spring lilac. The trouble was Janice had been pretty taken with the paint chips her father had brought home to Hallie from the hardware store and decided she wanted the lavender on her walls. Being older and being Janice, she got the lavender. And as Hallie had been warned not to copy her older sister, she'd settled for pink. She crossed to the desk and set her computer bag on top. Just put the suitcases on the bed, please. I'll unpack later. He hefted them up, laying them side by side on the pink gingham spread. They turned at the same time, coming face to face, inches apart in the tiny room. Hallie froze. He was so close she could feel the warmth of his breath on her cheek, the cool weight of his gaze as he studied her. She'd once compared his honey gold eyes to those of a lion. This morning she was struck again by the similarity. Beneath strong brows and spiky lashes, his eyes gleamed with intelligence, confidence, and strength. Like his jungle counterpart, Trey was easy with his power and position. His gaze traveled slowly over her face, analyzing, measuring, like he was trying to see inside of her to her deepest thoughts. Though tempted to lower her eyes and break the unnerving connection, she held her ground. She wouldn't give him the satisfaction of seeing her squirm. After a long moment of silent scrutiny, Trey blinked. If you don't need anything, I'll be running along. I want to get into the bank this morning. Hallie nodded. Her inclination was to let him find his own way out, but ingrained good manners and the fact he'd been so nice to her mother had her walking him to the door. Thanks for everything, Trey. Her mom called from her chair. Please tell your mother I hope she gets to feeling better. Yes, ma'am, I will. And you take care. With a quick jerk of his head, he motioned for Hallie to step out onto the porch with him. After pushing the door closed behind them, he turned to her and lowered his voice. Are you two going to be all right? Hallie nodded. We'll be fine. If you need anything. She resisted rolling her eyes. It had been a long time since she needed anything from him. We've got it covered. Okay. Standing there, hands shoved into his pockets and the sunlight glinting off his golden head, he didn't look much different from the 18-year-old she'd loved so completely. The kid who'd held her heart and her trust and had cruelly crushed them both. He started across the porch toward the stairs, paused and turned to face her. It may not show, but I know your mother appreciates you and the sacrifices you've made. She's really thankful you've come home to take care of her. It felt so nice to think her mother valued her. Warmed by his words, Hallie opened her mouth to thank him when the implication of what he'd said sank in. She frowned. Wait a minute. You don't think I'm staying? He lifted his broad shoulders. Sure. It's obvious your mother is in no shape to live independently. Yeah, but... His expression turned wry.
You don't honestly think Janice is coming home to take care of her, do you?
Hallie snorted. Hardly. But I only came back to make arrangements for Mom's care. I'm not moving to Village Green. She lifted a hand to stop the protest she saw on his lips. I know living here is the sum total of your aspirations, but it's not mine. I've got a great life back in Fort Worth. No way I'm giving it up. She lowered her voice. I could never come back here. Embarrassed she'd shown more emotion than she'd intended, Hallie cleared her throat. I'm here to make the arrangements for my mom, then I'm gone.
So much for trying to help out.
Trey climbed into his truck and fired up the engine. It seemed 10 years wasn't long enough for Hallie to work through her hostility issues. He shrugged before shifting into drive and cruising down the block. Her problem, not his. When he'd agreed to pick up Mrs. Nichols from the rehab center, he hadn't given much thought to the fact he'd see Hallie. Not that seeing her would have changed anything. Doing favors for neighbors and acting as a helping hand in the community had been bred into Trey as it had for generations of Gunthers. His family had been principal players in Village Green since its formation. He was proud of his heritage, proud to be part of the people who had served as leaders in the small town for the last 100 years. If the Gunthers had a family crest, the motto at the bottom would read, "With privilege comes responsibility. Noblesse oblige." The wheels of change moved slowly in small towns. People still came to Trey or his father looking for advice or help. The fact that the Gunthers controlled the bank ensured their prominence in the future. Though he might not agree with the small-town mentality, Trey understood it, he respected it, and did his part to uphold it. Picking up Mrs. Nichols was no problem. Besides being her banker, he considered himself her friend. And Hallie posed no problem either. She was ancient history, a mistake he'd long forgotten. After 10 years, he was totally over her. Which was not to say he wasn't curious. Curiosity had him waiting on the porch beside Mrs. Nichols for Hallie's arrival. What were her plans now that her mother was incapacitated? Would she move back to Village Green? Did he want that? And okay, he could admit it, he'd wondered if he would find some sign she'd finally realized that giving him up was the biggest mistake of her life. Not that he'd believed she'd been pining away for him for the last 10 years, but she'd dealt his pride a major blow, and it would have been satisfying to know she'd suffered a little. No such luck. Hallie didn't look regretful. She looked cool and confident. She didn't look like she was suffering. She looked like $1 million. Hallie had always been a beauty in a quiet, take-a-second-look sort of way. Nothing quiet about her now. She'd changed her hairstyle since last he'd seen her. She'd replaced the long, thick mane she'd always worn with choppy shoulder-length waves. The new style had "Big City" written all over it in a flirty, self-confident sort of way. Curiosity made his fingers itch to reach out and touch it, to see if it was as soft and silky as he'd remembered. Wisdom had him keeping his hands to himself. He'd always thought her eyes were her best feature. Big and brown and luminous, she used to melt his heart with a look. He'd watched those expressive eyes fill with hurt this morning when her mother spoke about Janice taking care of things. Trey reminded himself the look in Hallie's eyes was no longer his responsibility. Her parents never made a secret of their preference for their eldest daughter. As a teen, the blatant favoritism had made him furious. Anyone with an ounce of intelligence could see quiet Hallie was worth a dozen flashy Janices. Again, not his problem. Now they'd had their first meeting and his curiosity was satisfied. Hallie might look different, but she hadn't changed. History had repeated itself on her porch just now when she rejected his help and his town. No, Hallie hadn't changed. But then neither had he. Gunther men didn't back down, and Gunther men didn't beg. Chapter 2 Hallie unpacked while her mother napped. She'd brought an impressive selection.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?